Personal details. Agent name, Julia Banyai. Code name, not applicable. Alias, Gyula Sarosi. Nationality, Transylvania. Date of birth, 1824. Marital status, widowed, but remarried. Children, one, a daughter. Gender, female. Languages, Hungarian, Romanian, French. Occupation, equestrian in a circus, innkeeper. Spied for, Hungarian army. Information compromised. Location of Austrian and Russian soldiers during 1848 Hungarian Revolution. Retired, 1849. Status, deceased, 1883. Welcome to the second episode of the first season of Secret Spy Sisters. I am Tammy, your disembodied voice, relating to you the stories of female spies throughout history. Together, we'll explore the lives of these women and try to understand their motivations for spying. Was it money, love, ideology, or some other reason? Women have been used as spies for all types of espionage since the beginning of time, although documentation of females being used as spies in antiquity is scarce. For an extremely, extremely brief history of espionage, please listen to the trailer for this podcast. And now to the history of Julia Banyai, a fascinating woman who dressed as a man to join the Hungarian army, and who spied on the Austrian and Russian armies during the 1848 Hungarian Revolution. Before we dive into Julia's life, I'll set the historical stage a bit. The Hungarian Revolution of 1848 was a response to the Congress of Vienna. To understand the Congress of Vienna, we need to briefly touch on post-revolution France. For all of this, it's best to have a quick historical timeline. 1789, France has an incredibly brutal and truly, literally, bloody revolution. Seriously ridiculous. This is the chopping of the heads of all French royalty, those that are sympathetic to them. This was like the bloodiest revolution. People went out and took their children to it and sat there and watched the guillotine as like a family picnic kind of thing. The country changed hands several times after decapitating the royalty. And then in 1797, young General Napoleon Bonaparte, maybe you've heard of him, blazed through Europe, becoming a formidable force for France. Again, this is a brief historical timeline. 1799, Napoleon ruled France as the first consul. 1802, Napoleon was voted in as consul for life. Makes you wonder. 1804, Napoleon crowned himself Emperor of France. Also in 1804, the Holy Roman Emperor Francis II, a Habsburg, disbanded the HRE, Holy Roman Empire, and created the Austrian Empire, of which the country Hungary became a part of. In 1805, the German principalities became allies of France. 1805 also, Austria signed the Treaty of Pressburg with France. 1805 to 1814, there's a series of wars in Europe due to Napoleon being a dick. These are called the Napoleonic Wars, him trying to take over basically all of Europe. 1814, Napoleon is defeated, he abdicates, is sent to Elba Island in exile. But in 1815, Napoleon escapes. 1815, Napoleon is defeated again at the Battle of Waterloo. And then in 1815, the Congress of Vienna convenes. This is a meeting of ambassadors of Europe to reinstate political order and provide a long-term peace plan. Austria, Prussia, Russia all made territorial gains, and this carved up Central Europe. It supposedly was going to restore the balance of power in Europe, especially to the Habsburgs, who basically owned a third of it. In 1848, people are becoming nationalistic, hating imperialism and colonialism and empires. This is the age of empires for sure. These people are wanting to become, their countries are wanting to become autonomous. Revolutions are happening all over Europe in 1848. Italy, France, the German states. Again, Germany and Italy, by the way, are not unified yet. So their different states are having revolutions, Denmark, and of course the Austrian Empire. So, okay, let's chat briefly about the Austrian Empire. I don't know why I'm stuttering today. It's kind of weird. Oh, well. So the Austrian Empire, they were Habsburgs. The Habsburg family ruled most parts of Europe dating back to like the 15th century. The last Habsburg emperor was in 1918 with the breakup of the Austrian-Hungarian Empire after World War I. The Austrian Empire in 1848 was very diverse. It consisted of Austrians, Hungarians, Slovenes, Poles, Czechs, Croats, Slovaks, Ukrainians, Romanians, Serbs, and Italians. The Hungarian Revolution started on March 15, 1848. Out of all the 1848 revolutions, the Hungarian was the longest and lasted about a year, so all the other ones were put down fairly quickly. But this one lasted about a year. Hungarians in the Austrian Empire organized mass demonstrations in Pest and Buda. That's before those two cities were united as Budapest. They had 12 points of demands, which included freedom of press, an independent Hungarian ministry in Budapest, a formation of a national guard, civil and religious equality, trial by jury, national bank, a Hungarian army, withdrawal of Austrian troops, the freedom for political prisoners, and union with Transylvania, just to name a few. All right, so where does Julia fit into all of this? Julia was born in 1824. And I'm going to try these words, but I don't speak Hungarian or Romanian. So it's going to be a trick. And again, if I offend anybody, it's not on purpose. So, yeah. Anyway, so Julia was born in 1824 in Vizancna, Transylvania, which is now part of Romania. Her father was a salt miner. In her youth, she was an equestrian in a circus, which was fascinating to me, and I wish I could have found out more about that, but I wasn't able to. You know, even like some sketches or whatever of her on the horse. Equestrian is somebody who trains and then rides horses. Usually, you know, like they can do all kinds of tricks and stuff like that, but definitely that's dealing with horses. And it's interesting that it was in a circus, but again, I couldn't find much more information about that. Well, she married Gyula Sarosi, a lawyer of noble origin, but he died just a few months later from an unexpected illness, and I think he was older than her anyway. When the revolution started, Julia wanted to fight. She applied to the Hungarian National Defender Forces, but was told she couldn't fight because, of course, she's a woman. Commissioner Laszlo Csányi said, quote, "During our homeland's difficult days, the armed services of women cannot be accepted. Women should instead do female jobs that are appropriate to their strength and gender, such as sewing, laundry, and nursing alongside our troops," end quote. Many women defied this by dressing up as men. Go girls. Julia was one of these women. Julia decided to use her dead husband's identity to sign up in late 1848. There's records in 1848, right? But because there's no internet, there's no databases, that kind of stuff. And it's wartime. You know, it's kind of 1848, it's kind of an upheaval year for all of Europe. So I imagine it couldn't have been that hard. You know, there's probably not pictures of her dead husband, right? If there is, it's not easy for them to get a hold of. So, you know, I can't imagine that it would be that difficult. I mean, if she was a tiny little thing, maybe, but if she's average size or bigger, she could probably pass as a dude. All right, so those that signed up at this time were not thoroughly inspected also, right? Because Hungary was desperate for troops anyway, so, you know, maybe if somebody even did suspect that she was a female, which happens later, they kind of turn a blind eye to it because, you know, any warm body. Well, anyway, she was signed up. Julie was signed up and stationed with the 27th Battalion. So let's talk about her heroism and bravery because this woman was pretty badass. She was promoted through the ranks, up to sergeant by February 1849. She and fellow soldiers captured 12 wagons that were transporting food supplies for the Austrian army. At the siege of, oh dear God, Gyula-Fehérvár, she spied on and then captured an Austrian imperial officer who had come to spy on the Hungarians. The Austrians tried to rescue the officer. Julia got 2 bayonet stab wounds in her chest. Now, no one knows for sure if the doctor told her commanding officer that she was a woman, because of course she gets stabbed in the chest, of course the doctor's gonna know, right? Taking off her shirt, ta-da, right? And it would be obvious to the doctor, but at this point, would anybody care? I mean, she is a sergeant and she's done all these badass things and she captured this Austrian, you know, officer, and I don't think anybody would care at this point. Either way, her commanding officer didn't seem to care. He promoted her to lieutenant for her bravery. She then went back to the battlefield. She was in the hospital for a month with grenade splinters later on in her back, and she reported back to duty again in the summer of 1849. By this time, the Austrians had asked Russia for help because the Hungarians were fighting so strongly, and now she was fighting the Russians as well as the Austrians. By this time, most of the commanders knew Julia was a woman. duh, right? And gave her more assignments with spying. She would dress as a woman, a Parisian dancer. The French-speaking Russian soldiers loved her and would often speak freely in front of her because, again, that's the thing about women spies back then. A little bit different now, and of course, once we get to a more modern spy, we'll discuss that. But, you know, she's a Parisian dancer. You know, she speaks a little Russian, she speaks a little French, so it's going to be easy for her to spy on them. She would tell them, she would tell them that she was alone and needed an escort back into the Russian-occupied city, so that was her way of getting across those enemy lines. Then she would dress as a man, escape, go back to the Hungarian army, and tell them what the Russian military positions were. She would also dress as a male vendor and go behind enemy lines selling things. In fact, Julia brought the Hungarian army so much information, they promoted her to captain. Eventually, the Russians and Austrian forces were too much for the revolutionary Hungarians, who eventually surrendered. Julia crossed the occupied areas as a woman and fled to Turkey. Now, this is where her life gets even more interesting. This woman was very interesting, and I really kind of wish there was so much more information about her. I'd really like to know more about her, but anyway. Many of the revolutionaries escaped into the Ottoman Empire, Julia as well. Those who didn't were either executed or sent to labor camps, so, you know, you kind of had a choice, right? Or no choice if you wanted to survive. In Transylvania, Colonel Joseph Mach of the Hungarian forces prepared a new uprising in Transylvania. Julia joined as a woman this time and delivered leaflets and other propaganda in Transylvania. But, ironically, they were betrayed by a spy, and Julia fled back to Turkey. So, this is where it gets happy, right, for her. Actually, it seemed kind of happy anyway, but she met and married a man named Edda Mata. The Hungarian colony in Turkey was slowly dissolving. There was a large colony there for a little while, but it was slowly dissolving. But Julia and Edda remained there. They traveled around the Ottoman Empire and settled in Cairo, Egypt. There they opened a Hungarian restaurant and inn at the foot of the pyramids, and it was open for decades. It was named A Farahos, or To the Pharaoh. And they had a daughter. Now, unfortunately, again, that's all I could find out about Julia, except that she died in Cairo in 1883. Her husband survived her and kept the restaurant open until 1900, until the turn of the century, and then he went back to Hungary and died. I love a good revolutionary spy story. Thanks so much for listening to the second episode of Secret Spy Sisters. I wish it was longer, but again, not much information about Julia Banyai. If you do know any information, I would love to hear about it. I would love to hear feedback. Please email me at secretspysisters@yahoo.com or on Twitter @spy_sister or the Facebook group Secret Spy Sisters. I would love to know some female spies you would like to hear about. Please give this podcast 5 stars on Apple Podcasts when it gets on Apple Podcasts and all the other podcasting sites. Please give a review with comments and feedback. Reviews and feedback are fantastic. Remember, this comes out once a month, first Monday of every month. Also, you can find a page on the website, womencommittingcrimes.com, where you can see all the pictures of these women, as whatever I can find, of course, as well as for the podcast Women Committing Crimes, which is found wherever you listen to podcasts. For next week, hopefully it'll be a little bit longer, right? Hopefully. For next week, I'll be talking about Zhang Pingru, a Chinese spy during the Second Sino-Japanese War. So I shall see you next time. Bye.